I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If I could take a trip to Mars with three people, it would be Clever Pun, Tom Sherwood, and Strange One. Why? Because they support the TMS Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on the morning stream, Somewhere Over the Lemon.
Mnemonic.
Pumbaa of the Planet of the Crystal Empire, Richards.
Richard's Skull.
Leg Salad Sandwich.
Barometric pressure pushing down on me, pushing down on you.
In Olive Garden, no one can hear your family.
They bury the cannibalism.
Two girls, one cup, zero plot.
You'll get no issues, no pause, and no Lieutenant Yar.
Soap and slide.
Fly around the cheese.
Your body is a barometer.
The police are calling for Brian.
Coddle your damn eggs with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now, this one's old and kind of ropey. My wife would not enjoy it.
Do you wish you were impervious to pain, too? You realize you could burn your fingers off without even noticing, right?
The Morning Stream. Ah, that's the level of stupid we're looking for.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ebbett.
Hello.
How are you? Good morning. I'm all right.
Good morning.
It's Monday. It's wet outside, cold. It's like 33.
Warmer where you're at.
Yeah, a little warmer.
18 here, snow falling, but nothing like the blizzard, nothing like the big snow dump we had a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
more manageable amount of snow on the ground.
Also, I keep having this thing where I'm almost 100% sure it's BS, but so somebody out there, you know what? Let's have Tolbert or some doctor chime in on this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I get the worst headaches before a storm. Like, they're almost migraine level, not quite. I don't want to put them in that category, but I'll get a headache and then bam, a storm comes. And it goes away. It just dissipates as soon as it hits.
Oh, really? Okay. So yeah. I get them beforehand. I usually just take aspirin as soon as I get them. So I don't know if they'd go away on their own as soon as the storm comes. But there's something about pressure. Like, you get the front of high pressure before a storm comes in that.
Barometric pressure. Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Your body is a barometer, says chat. I mean, look, it
your
may
body's
be
a barometer. My favorite John Mayer song.
I know it's less sexy than the other one that made it to the radio.
And now I want to do the whole song.
Yeah, please do. But yeah, no, it's not like sinus stuff. It's like, I don't know, it's like this hideous, like, up here front thing. And then as soon as it hits, like the storm, and it's not that much long, it's not that much before the storm. It's like maybe a couple hours before the storm hits. And then as soon as the skies open and the rain, the snow, the sleet, whatever it is that falls, I go, ah, like it
and
leaves.
And then it breaks. Wow, yeah. Interesting.
It's very weird. So it's probably different for everybody. Everybody has their own thing. But
some people get that, what is it, the like a arthritis thing? Or they feel it in their knee or something.
Mm. Yeah, old injuries and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
This shoulder that I slammed into those kids when I was 14 on the tube, snow tubing, that thing acts up a little bit when there's a storm. Actually, it's the arm that's acting up in general. It's a piece of shit arm right now. But I swear I'm paying for an accident that happened when I was 14. The year was 1984 and I slid backwards and smacked a kid who's probably in his 60s now.
Right.
Coming down the hill, and it still bugs me when storm stuff kicks in. I know. It's lame.
Weird how that stuff It sticks with you forever.
Well, how'd your date night go? That probably stuck with you. How'd it go?
It stuck with me, Scott. It was my turn to choose for Tina. We had mystery date. And about a month ago, I heard that Choir was coming to Denver. Now, if you're not familiar with Choir, they're exclamation points. So really, it's Choir.
Oh, wow.
They are a comedy and music duo that... from Toronto. Usually they used to just perform in Toronto, I think, and now they go on the road all the time now. And they take an audience full of people and lead them through singing. And you go to this thing and you are going to sing. No one's going to hear you except maybe the people just immediately around you because you're all singing at the same time and you're all singing together.
Right.
But the audience is the choir. So they lead you in song, and for some of their songs, they actually break the audience up into parts and give each part different things to sing, either back patter or harmonization or things like that. And I give you a link. It was a special ABBA night. Tina's a big ABBA fan, so it was a special ABBA night. So it was all ABBA songs. Fortunately, they didn't do that weird song about the guy who, finds a personal ad and hires a woman and her daughter to have sex. But it was more of the hits, more of the ABBA gold than the ABBA dregs.
Sure.
And so you can find that that Mamma Mia clip that I sent you, and just go, a few seconds into it and
play a little bit. Did you put it in the TMS group? Where'd you send
it? I did. No, I put it in the, it's in the TMS.
Oh, it's above
chat. Blaze Your Glory.
Yeah, and the old men in Ghostbusters. Hold on. Here we go. Okay, I found it. I'm going to play a little of this. See if we can't get in trouble on YouTube. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
It's all right.
Probably not, because this is a bunch of people singing an ABBA song. It's not ABBA.
That's true, but when you sing on FilmSack, I get dinged every time.
Well, because I use a karaoke track.
Oh, is that why?
Probably, yeah, because the karaoke track is probably really similar to the original.
All right, here we go. It's a fun crowd. Look at that crowd.
It's a huge crowd. Way bigger crowd than we had. We had a church, really cool Methodist church in town.
So, this is cool.
Sounds like I Got You by Split Enz.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe they get people to do this. This is amazing.
It's amazing. And
that's hard. It is. That's hard to do.
It really isn't. Like when you're sitting in this group right over here and you're being told to do is go ba-ba-ba-da-da-da, and then you gotta kinda know where your note is, but you've got a bunch of people around you who kind of maybe got it themselves, and they kind of guide you into that note when you're looking for the harmonization and stuff.
Wow. All right. I've seen some choir. My mom was a choir director, and she struggled to get people to get their shit right. So I'm just impressed the crowd of strangers can just get it. I mean, that's their whole vibe, I guess. That's the whole thing. That's the whole draw, is they're able to get the audience to do this stuff. But that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was an hour and a half. We spend maybe 20 minutes on Mamma Mia, like the setup, and then the final, everybody's singing along with it. But these guys are so hilarious the whole time. And so we're doing Dancing Queen and, Fernando and, SOS. Now that was another one where they broke the audience up into parts and gave each group a different part. It was a lot of fun.
And the only music backing is just guitar guy and
it's just the dude in the front with the guitar. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it's like they're really funny, genuinely funny people. And so doing, when they're setting up and saying, okay, you guys are going to be doing the harmony on this one. You're going to be going up here. And then he says, just you. And invariably somebody on the other side will start singing regardless. Mm. So they'll joke around with that guy, and then they'll come back to the part of the audience that's doing harmonies and stuff like that. It's a blast.
This is cool. Yeah, so they got a website. It's just choirchoir.com, and you can go check it out and see where they're coming on tour.
List their locations. So if you Randy heard about this and immediately said, I'm taking SJ to this.
I'm moving Catwoman to see this film.
That's right. Exactly.
That's great.
Left that. We had a really good dinner. Well, we found this new place called Chopstickers, which is a, they do Vietnamese like soup and dan dan and bao, like really good soft pork belly bao buns and soup dumplings. We you know, basically picked everything that sounded so good, and then just had this big plate of stuff in front of us that we were enjoying.
That sounds fantastic.
Really cool. Yeah.
I would eat that.
Awesome. And then we drove home, and as we're driving, we're stopped at a red light, and we're just chit-chatting, and all of a sudden, a car flies through the red light between me and the guy in the car in the lane next to us. So two lanes, two cars, and somebody in a white Dodge Charger flies through between us.
Yep.
And goes through the red light. Like, oh my God, how did he not hit somebody crossing the other way? It was late. There wasn't a lot of traffic. So thank God for that. And then, you know, we're both like, God, you know, people, a-holes like that driving around and doing that shit. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we come around the corner and we see, oh crap. He slammed into a guardrail. Like he did not see that sharp turn to get onto the highway. And
look at that front end, chat.
Just wrecked his.
Yeah, I reshowed it in slow mo, zoomed up. Look at that. Oh, that is so munched. He got munched.
He really got munched. So we pulled over. I immediately called 911, said, hey, here's where we're at. There's an accident on the on-ramp to northbound I-25 at 20th Street, blah, 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 blah. And they're asking all these questions like, all right, did you get hit? He's like, no, I don't know how we didn't get hit because he flew right by me, went through the red light. And I don't know how he didn't hit my car or touch my car. And
got to be like an inch on each side. This thing is so close.
Exactly. It was so, so close.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, by the way, I have a dash cam. I'm sure it recorded the whole thing. Want the footage? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. If you've got that. Awesome. Yeah. We'll text you a link and you can upload your dash cam footage. Meanwhile, while I'm talking to 911, a couple people had parked on the other side of the on-ramp. And we're getting out to check on the driver. So, you know, so I didn't have to try and get out of the car, risk getting my door ripped off or getting hit by other people who are getting onto the highway. Thank goodness.
Yeah, so, it's a tight little. So I just showed the video of the chat. But basically, for those at home listening, it looks like that turn has two very slight shoulders. But if there's a car on one shoulder all wrecked and sitting there, and then you guys are parked there.
Yeah.
Nobody on this side is going to know that. They're going to come.
Right.
They might see around. The wreck, they're not gonna see but they're not going to see you. Print. Yeah, they may see the aftermath, but they're not going to see Brian Ibbett and his door open.
Right, and exactly. And even if they round the corner where they could see me, their eyes aren't going to be on me. They're going to be on the pile of Charger that is on the left side of their view. So
we don't like the stereotype here on the show, but why is it always Chargers? What's the deal? You know what I mean? Chargers or Mustangs?
Is it always Chargers? I didn't know that.
I feel like who cuts me off in traffic, I feel like is in something like a Charger, if not a Charger.
Oh, here in Colorado, it is pickup trucks. Mm. It is the bigger the pickup truck, the tinier the little pee-pee of the driver that's driving it, most likely. But it is aggressive, horrendous like pickup truck drivers who cut us off all the time.
Mm, yeah. Well, I'm glad. I mean, the main thing, obviously, is that you didn't get hit, and that's good. We don't want that.
Yeah, and hopefully Dirtbox Fingers says it right. Hopefully the driver was okay, and it's just an expensive, painful lesson. Exactly. That's what you hope for is that, well, I hope you've learned something about this crap, and I hope other people who drive by also learn something if they're aggressive drivers themselves. Those people are saying post on Reddit. Where should I... you guys will have to let me know where to post this thing on Reddit.
There's a whole group in there for near miss car stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I follow it. I can't remember the name, though. Let's see if I can find it real quick and I can tell you, because it's a great place for this sort of thing and this would fit right in. I actually even did an edited version of the video that shortens the light.
Oh, good.
because your light's really long. So if you want to put that up there, you could do that. But let's see. It's called...
And hopefully you took off all the stuff on, like, there's a lot of time on the end, too, that...
Yeah, I cut all that out just to trim it. Let's see.
Yeah, post, put that one in our covers folder, our music folder, and I'll put that up there.
What is the name of this? Is it just Drivers?
Hold on. Oh, Idiots and Cars, says Benjamin.
That's it. That's it. Idiots and Cars. Fantastic thread or Reddit, subreddit.
I feel like it's going to trigger me with all the idiots in cars that I see regularly when I'm lifting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, pretty much guarantee, right? Now you're going to notice it. Okay, I'm putting a copy in our thing, and you can do that. It's called ibitnearmiss.mp4.
Nice. Excellent.
Anyway, I'm glad you're... I'm glad you didn't get hit. B, it sounds like the driver probably okay, although who knows what he was... Maybe he was drinking. My guess is he was just being an ass, if I had to guess.
Yeah. That's probably typical. And I think if he had an airbag in there, that thing was modern enough that has to have an airbag, then I'm sure he was fine. But
feels more likely that if he was drinking, it might be more swervy and I don't know, erratic, not putting the foot pedal to the metal. I don't know how that stuff works. Anyway, well, I'm glad you're good.
It's crazy. Yeah, thanks.
If you guys want to see, or here, I'll give you all the link. If you want to see this again at your own leisure in the chat, you can. There's the YouTube link. It's just a private or an unlisted video.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Let's see where we are here. Yeah. Oh, we got a thing about the live TV thing, doing antennas versus, services or whatever. You guys do Hulu TV, I think, or something like
that. Yeah, we do. Saying? We do Hulu live with, to get the combo of, Disney Plus and, ESPN. We don't care about ESPN, but it's included as part of this package deal.
I was going to say it's there if you want it, I suppose. Well, this guy wrote in, didn't give a name, but he says if you have the Paramount Plus app, you can watch live CBS shows. We have an antenna that sits in a window, and we get all the terrestrial signals clear and easy. The Paramount Plus app thing, that's why we got the Super Bowl here. That was a live event. And it is true, I can go in there and see live shit all the time, but it's only CBS stuff. So, yeah, as long as I was limited to CBS, I could see how that might be a go-to for me, but I don't spend really much time on CBS. There's nothing on there for me, really. And there's more on Paramount, just proper streaming, than there is on the network channel. So, so I don't know. Have you used it for that before? Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, there's. It's funny because that's where stuff. Let's see, what is it? Is it maybe Survivor or Big Brother or something? I watched an episode using the actual Paramount Plus app.
And it was live, like a live episode?
And it was live. It was being live. Yeah, it was aired live. Okay. I don't know. I mean, we get that with Hulu, so there's no reason. There's not much of a reason for me to try it in Paramount.
Well, there you go. Thank you for that. 801-471-0462. If you'd like to send in your own.
If you don't have terrestrial, if you don't have a live service, that is a really good way to do it.
Yeah. And this guy's got both. He's doing the antenna thing. And I don't know. I've been tempted.
Yeah.
I had to buy a tub.
It doesn't sound like how do you get your news?
If I get it at all, I get it on the internet. I don't care about televised stuff at all, so I don't watch it. I haven't seen like a regular newscast in probably, more than a decade. It's easily been that long, almost as long as the show is.
So. Yeah, no, we're Lester Holt folks in this household. We Lester Holt every night.
That's good. He's your friend. He's there to help you.
Yes, absolutely.
He has no lips. Moving on. Let's get to the let's play half asses, guys. Let's get a game going here. I'm going to bring Dunaway in, and he's going to be a big part of it. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can do that and make that happen without any issues or pause.
Yeah, feels like we just talked to him yesterday.
I know, right? Okay. Here we go. This is it. Hey, Dunaway, what are you doing, man?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey.
I don't know. What are you guys doing?
Getting ready to bring you on and have a little half-asses.
Right. That's what we're doing.
Fine. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
I'm excited. Let's get into it. What are we making, YouTube content?
Yeah, we're making YouTube content. Smash the subscribe. Did you bring your subscribe button that we can smash as we go on here? Is that the plan?
I did. It's in my right pocket. Reach in there. Go ahead. Reach further.
I can tell Brian.
Make that joke.
I can tell Brian's having a very intense conversation with somebody. I don't know who it is, but whoever you are for the last 5 minutes.
Don't mind me. Sorry.
I've been watching that Quiet on the Set thing on HBO Max. You know, the Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Kerfuffle. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. One of the four of us will be recommending that this week. So we'll talk more about it. But yeah. I hear it's some heavy, heavy stuff.
It starts off in one direction. Let's just say it veers. It's only like three episodes or something. So at first you're like, oh, this is a whole season of stuff. They're really going to dig into it. And they did. But, you know, I think it's like three episodes or something like that. I enjoyed it. Really opened my eyes to some of the things that were going on. I already kind of suspected.
Do they get into the Drake Bell stuff? His whole thing?
Yeah, spoiler. They do talk about that. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a spoiler, is it? Is that a spoiler?
Did they find out that Nickelodeon says there were actually things you could do on television? Was that a big expose?
No. It's called Things You Shouldn't Do on Television Now. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Shouldn't.
And you shouldn't.
Well, all right then. I want to see that, but I also am a little wary because I don't know if I'm in the mood.
It's an emotional ride, especially as a parent.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sure.
Well, yeah. All right. You know what? I may see it just to. I don't know. Well, you know what? Let's see what that recommendal is Wednesday. Then I'll make my call. That's what I decided.
And luckily, because it's like, oh no, I love the Nickelodeon shows. I don't want to screw it up for myself. But it's really specifically some shows, even though Nickelodeon as a company is a big old dick company, just like all the companies. Hey, what are you going to do? It's too big to be nice, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're too big to fail, but too big to be nice.
Too big to be nice. Yeah. Jackasses.
Jerks. Especially stuff when it has like kind of meteoric success and things kind of exploded for them in the 90s. And it just feels like the quicker you get successful, and the money comes rolling in, the more ethically dubious things can get. People get
money.
People get weird.
Money,
like,
baby.
This happens.
The dollar signs seem to block their view of any sort of morals or.
This happened at Blizzard. It was basically just insane amount of growth over a very short amount of time, and they just lost control of each other, and then all that harassment and bullshit happened just right under everyone's nose. But it didn't matter because they were just raking in the cash, you know?
Yeah, you hear me talk about this from time to time. It's like I'm always curious about individuals I see who go into a job and is one person, then comes out on the other side is another person. And I go, oh, sometimes you got to ask, is it the person or is it the job? And sometimes you got to ask, hey, you should have been a person before the job. Yeah, it's just like that, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Money complicates everything. We don't even need any, but please subscribe to our patrons now so that we can
please see if you can change us by subscribing to our Patreons and giving us lots of money.
There you go. All right, we're gonna play a game, and you're here to compete. I think you lost last week, so no pressure. But you gotta
is that how you remember it?
That's how I remember it. That's my memory. I'm sticking with it because I'm pretty sure that's what happened, but I could be wrong.
I can't wait for my Max special where I talk about how Scott always was gaslighting me and stuff. It's mm-hmm. great. It's,
document all this stuff.
What are you gonna call it? What do you want to name your documentary?
Shut the hell up on the set. Red light. Red on air light.
Let's do it.
Nice. Love it.
I can picture the cover now. I subscribe to your newsletter. All right. Well, let's do this thing. Brian David, explain these rules and who might win what.
That's right. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, and three of them, like, I don't know what happened to Kids on Full House, are totally wrong and incorrect. I don't know if they're mentioned in this thing. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if they get any of those guesses wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point. Two right gets you 3 points. Three right gets you 5 points total. Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Wait a minute, contestants. Oh yeah, I've got some pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Borin in Canada.
Nice.
Not Borin.
I don't even know where in Canada he is, but he's in Canada, somewhere in that entire country. And Brian, you're playing for Colby in Kansas City.
Nice.
Colby from Kansas. I like Colby from Kansas City.
Well, he's from Missouri.
Missouri side. Yeah.
Kansas City's in Missouri, for those who are confused. Which sounds like Brian Dunaway might be confused.
Well, partially.
Wow, man, is your name Dan Snyder?
Jesus. No, it's a.
You mean to give you a back rub on
it?
It
is kind of half and half, right? Isn't it sort of split?
Yeah, there's parts of kids. I think most of it, like 90% of it, or a large portion of it, is in Missouri. But I think there's a little bit of Kansas City that's in. Kansas.
So who gets to claim the Chiefs? Is it 100% purely Missouri?
Kansas City gets to claim the Chiefs,
right? But
are they still the Chiefs?
But which state gets to say it's our thing?
Missouri does.
All right, that's what I thought. All right. Cool. Fun little side.
By the way, I just want to say this right now before anybody runs off and starts a blog. Scott is the nicest person I've ever worked with. He's been nothing but professional.
What did I say? Did I say something rude? What did I say?
No. You got people. You know, people get upset.
I don't understand. All I said
shouldn't
was
be joking. I shouldn't be joking about that kind of stuff. I apologize. I'm the jerk.
Anytime, Scott, it's so true, Scott. Anytime I give you any flack on the show, I get emails and messages on Discord. You are so mean to Scott, Brian. Why do you need to stop that? Why don't you go jump off a cliff and all that?
Jeez,
Ratzenberger. All right.
Yeah, they're all signed by Frankenberger. Weirdly enough.
Weird. Yeah. Might have a little pattern going there.
That's right. They all have the same name. Signed, your mom. Really? Okay. Anyway, let's get to our first set of answers here. Your category, this will be an easy one for you. Queens of Egypt. Queens of Egypt.
Yeah. Okay.
Right off the tip of your tongue.
I took this in college, so this should be easy.
We all know the mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
The mnemonic for knowing all the queens of Egypt. Your choices are Erinne, Magda, Sobekneferu, Hatshepsut, Nefertari, and Saidea. And thank you. I will not repeat those.
Oh my gosh! I don't
that first one feels like bait, Ariana.
She's a grande.
Grande.
Boy, I'm going conservative here because I don't know. We'll do two. That's all. I don't know. I love ancient freaking stuff like this, but I don't know anyone's names. I don't remember this stuff.
I know. You and me both. All right, let's get to the answers. By the way, when I did this solo, before I looked at the answers, I got one right. So don't feel bad.
Oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know, like, you go in and you try these out?
I play every card before I put it in here. I try it myself. Or as I'm putting it in, I type all the answers. Then I make my guess. And then I select, do the code that says which answers are right.
Now I feel a little bad about always... you know, being mad, but you give me these hard ass questions. Okay.
Oh yeah. No, I wouldn't, I wouldn't put you through anything that I wouldn't put myself through as well, Brian. It's the code. It's the Brian code. Let's see. Both of you settled on Magda. I'll just tell you right off the bat. Nope. Magda's not.
No.
But your other choices each were correct. Hatshepsut and Nefertari.
Hatshepsut.
So Magda is from the Disney movie, isn't she? And we mixed her up. She's from
a Diablo boss, as are Erinne and Saidea.
Oh, I should have known that.
That definitely sounds. Every one of those sounds like three.
The three that aren't actual Egyptian queens are Diablo bosses.
Who was the girl in Hercules? She sounded so familiar.
Hercules.
Magnaria.
Magda. Magnarognia.
Carter.
Magna Carter. Yeah.
I can't remember her name, so I will not worry about it, but I swear it was something like that. Anyway. Megara. Megara was her name. That's
Megara. Okay.
Oops. All right. That's not her.
No worries. All right. Well, that was let's call that a warm up, shall we? Let's go to question two. And if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, you might know this one. Lyrics, words contained in the lyrics to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Your choices are witch, lemon, clouds, storm, lullaby, and through. I'm going to give you 5 seconds before I...
Shut up. You can't talk halfway through my singing and give me 5 seconds.
I definitely can, because I don't want you to sing the whole thing.
Two and two. I'm doing two.
Yeah, I'm doing two as well. Fine.
Two and two.
You didn't give me a chance to sing all of it. That's bullshit. Did you also not give yourself time to sing it when you did the card? Yeah, that's what I thought.
No,
yeah, I'm going to shut up. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You guys both locked in. Clouds is correct. Yeah, you guys both locked in on clouds. And lullaby, Brian, you got lullaby.
Yeah.
Through, however, is not. The other one is lemon, like thin and feeling like lemon drops away.
Lemon drops.
Chimney top.
I would have got there.
Shit.
Yeah. Lemon, lullaby, and clouds.
Which puts you ahead by three, you dirty bastard.
You dirty, three boy.
Nothing with Brian. We got one more here, so let's, I'm getting called.
I have the Wizard of Oz on vinyl. Police, it's one of those with the paint on the front of it where it's got Dorothy and it spins around and it's like, she looks like she's,
Hold on. Did you get a call from the cops? You should answer
that. I did. But they're trying to get me to fill out their survey.
Oh.
I've gotten two texts from them saying, how did we do? Please fill out the survey. And I'm going to do it later. But don't wait too long.
My Oreo Blizzard was a little melty. Tell them that. And just confuse them with like a restaurant. I love it.
Okay, nice. All right. So, Brian, going into round three with 3 points. Scott with zero. Let's get to the question number three. World record holders weighing over one ton. So which of these world record holders weigh more than a ton? Your choices are the heaviest hockey stick, the heaviest bicycle, the heaviest tortoise, the heaviest squash, the heaviest Caesar salad, and the heaviest bar of soap. Which three of these things weigh more than a ton?
I'm going with density here. Probably I'm wrong, but I'm going to try
it. You're my density.
I heard the same. I thought the same thing.
It's the closest I'm going to ever get to winning.
Watch Teen Wolf this week. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty stoked about that. You're going to get your Michael J. Fox on and all that?
Another Michael J. Fox on. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's hairy in this one.
The Teen Wolf sequel's not great, though, if I remember right, right?
Oh, like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's Teen Wolf. What do you want from it?
Well, I wanted Michael J. Fox again.
Yeah, exactly. Michael J. Fox didn't come back.
Yeah.
So, no,
yeah.
We get Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we got Justine Bateman. Oh, man.
Ooh, that would have been a really good Teen Wolf. I would have liked
that. Yeah, no kidding. Right. Who says it has to be a guy? Jeez. Yeah. Oh.
Adolescent crush 101 with her, man.
Well.
Loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right. Let's go down the list of these. The heaviest bar of soap, over 14 tons.
Jeez.
No, wait. So do you like rub yourself on it? I mean, I guess you couldn't pick it up, right?
You have to, right? I think you just, you do it like a slip and slide. You take a run and then you slide on the bar of soap and roll yourself around.
I imagine this dial too. What kind of soap do you imagine it being? It has to be like that yellow dial shit.
Really? I was picturing ivory, like just your standard big white soap. Okay. Really what it probably is like a thousand other soaps all got wet.
And slivers. Like,
yeah,
right, exactly, and all glued together.
I threw one of those out today, a little sliver. Little bastard, I'm not going to use you anymore. You get that thin, F off. I'm going in right in the trash.
Exactly. However, all the other answers you chose
were
incorrect. The heaviest hockey stick is over 30 tons.
What?
I call hockey on that.
I don't think somebody actually used it to play. The heaviest Caesar salad, over 3 tons. The heaviest squash, weighing in at 1,486 pounds. The heaviest bicycle, really just a little short, 1,895 pounds. And the heaviest tortoise, not even hitting that 1,000, 919 pounds for the heaviest tortoise.
Still pretty heavy.
Brian wins.
Yeah, nicely done, dude. Holy crap.
Congratulations.
I got to say... A little upset about the heaviest Caesar salad. That is a lot of waste. Did people eat? Did everybody get a bite?
I'm sure it was like one of those big food, like one of those things, Caesar salad day, right? Some company said, "Oh, we're gonna make the biggest Caesar salad," and then everybody in the stadium who helped assemble it gets to eat it.
Because God, that next day you put that thing in the refrigerator, you're gonna smell it.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh hell yeah! I'm trying to find an image of it. The closest I can find is one that says world's biggest salad. Doesn't say if it's Caesar, but this looks like a food waste nightmare. There's no way that they ate all this. Like, my gosh.
Let's see.
Gigantic.
Here it is right here. The world's largest Caesar salad was prepared by Canarac, the Tijuana Restaurateurs Chamber of Commerce, weighed
Commerce.
3.287 tons. Let's see if
that's not a Caesar salad. What is that? Is that carrots in there? Get out of here. Yeah, and that's just regular old lettuce.
It does
have anchovies too. No photos.
Does sound dense though, doesn't it? Like at that weight, yeah. It's got to be more dense.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of water.
Here's the photo right here. If I can find, let's see, copy image. All right, I'll put it in our Discord.
Okay, I'll pull it up. Oh wow, this is the one.
Yeah,
look at this, guys.
She ordered the big salad.
Yeah,
she
ordered the big salad. Holy shit. That still doesn't look like it weighs that much, but I guess I don't understand the.
Oh, water! That and water is so heavy. It could get heavy.
They
get
the croutons in there. You think it's hard to see?
No, croutons are light.
Yeah,
yeah, but they probably did put them in there. Yeah,
yeah.
How blown my mind was when I found out all the croutons I were eating were like just day old bread, toasted. I'm like what?
Yeah, those are the best kind.
This delicious piece of crouton.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's fine. probably a way to say what's the word? Well, not throw things out. Back in the day, you were like,
yeah.
Well, we got this old bread. What do we do with it? Well, we give it to the birds, or you can let it dry out, put it in our salad. You know,
unlike the heaviest Caesar salad, biggest food waste ever.
Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah. And then Caesar himself would be embarrassed by this. You know, he'd be like, just stab me in the back already. I can't deal with this. He'd say.
Then he would eat grapes. Is that the right guy?
The Caesar salad list, by the way, almost should be its own feud, tadpooley feud topic. Here are all the things that go into Caesar salad among different recipes. Romaine, which is standard, croutons, lemon juice, Parmesan cheese, black pepper, warm or coddled egg. Use that to make
coddled
dressing.
Egg.
Yeah, not quite hard boiled, but like...
you hold it? You're like, it's okay, egg.
Like soft one. Anchovy fillets and Worcestershire sauce.
What?
What's this here sauce? And then you start getting into like, all right, hot mustard, olive oil, red wine vinegar, fresh garlic, watercress, iceberg lettuce, cayenne pepper, Tabasco sugar, mayonnaise, and
tomatoes,
blue cheese.
So we're just calling anything a Caesar salad.
Anything, exactly. Mandarin oranges, marinated artichoke hearts, avocado, ripe olives, bacon bits, sun-dried tomatoes. Etc. etc. That I'm only halfway through the list, so I'll stop there. But you can
romaine,
you can do whatever you want with a.
Is romaine potentially some small grape tomatoes sliced up, anchovy paste, and some Parmesan cheese? That's
and some croutons.
And some croutons and some croutons. Yep. You don't have to add tomatoes. Tomatoes are totally optional, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
And onions. Yeah. Oh my god.
Onions. Also, the reason that they did this thing in Tijuana, thank you, Wynn, the Caesar salad, not named for Julius Caesar, but named for the creator of the salad who was from Mexico.
Oh, I had no idea.
The record thing was in Tijuana.
I had no idea. I thought that was an Italian thing. Why do Italian? Okay, well, now I'm starting to think that, what do you call it? What's their names when you hear your family? I can't think of their freaking name. What's their name?
When you hear your family, Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. When you're here, your family. But they.
When you hear your family. Hello?
They, when you hear your family.
Those guys might be lying to us because they have Caesar salad and they act like they invented it over there. Those bastards. I didn't know. I had no idea it was Mexico. That's crazy.
I thought they invented breadsticks. Is that not?
I don't know. Italy? I don't know what they did over there. I'm looking at
coddled. I thought Olive Garden.
Oh, well, our Olive Garden. Listen, it's not that great. Don't go there.
Which is better? Which is better? Cheese sticks from Olive Garden or Fazoli's? What do you think?
What's your vote? Man.
What's your vote?
I think I'd go with Olive Garden. We don't have the last Fazoli's in town turned into an El Pollo Loco at the end of last year. So we're done here with Fazoli's.
By default.
If I want to get either of the two, I'm only getting Olive Garden right now.
Turns out I have had a coddled egg. I recognize this from the cruise. They had a lot of these.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a little bread dish. And the yolk.
Yeah. It's right where you just cut the top off and
it's like that right there. And they come in
looks
these
like
little...
like you forgot to cook your egg is what it looks like to me.
Oh, right. Where they put in a ramekin as opposed to... The shell is a soft-boiled egg.
Yeah.
The ramekin is a coddled egg. Okay.
And all the descriptions just say, you just got to be really careful while you cook it. I mean, that's the whole thing.
You have to coddle it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to coddle your eggs. So be careful with your eggs. Preserve them. And Dunaway, you win. Okay? That's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, don't worry. Next week, Scott will say he did.
Yeah, I'll just say I won last next week. Didn't I? Did I not win the last one? Or am I making that?
You did. You really did. You remember. Did. I know. You, I think. I'm pretty sure you did.
So, all right. So that'll be good. Brian, remind these fine winners what they won, because both of them won shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. I didn't even get to that, did I? All right, our winner, Colby in Kansas City, you're getting a copy of Children of Silentown and Snowtopia Ski Resort Builder. Ooh, build your own snowbird and have your own Nerdtacular there if you want.
Yeah.
Boren in Canada, you're going to be getting Neo 2. I don't know if that's Nio, N-I-O-H 2.
I've never known how to say that. I've never learned.
What is it? Yeah.
It's very, very highly thought of sort of Souls-like competitor action RPG thing. Yeah. People like them. I've never played them, but I hear good things. I've just never known how to say that. You're probably right. Nio, probably.
I pronounced it five ways. One of those ways.
Nio.
Yeah. I think I like your Dunaways is best. Nice job.
Yeah,
for sure.
Congratulations to these two chuckleheads. You won no matter what we did. And next week we'll challenge it again. And then, of course, Wednesday we'll give the feud a try. And that's a whole separate bag of cheese, so come on back for that and try to win again. Dunaway, is there anything you'd like to tell us before you go?
Are we gonna play some Unreal Tournament 2K4 tonight, Scott?
2K4, I don't know. I thought it was 99 on Mondays. No.
Oh, you're right, it is 99. Are we gonna play some 99 tonight, or you got the Monday show?
I've got the Monday show, but I could probably play before Carter and I record. Okay. So
I don't want you to stress yourself.
No.
Yes.
I like to play. I like to play. Plus, I got to get my position back. I don't like
You've slipped.
I have to try it with my new monitor. Finally got my monitor set up so I won't injure myself with my wrist or my neck. And since I'm not lifting today, I think I might be in.
That'd be great.
Very good.
Yep.
No,
4:30 is before?
I think so. Isn't that what we did last time? 4:30, 6:30 your time?
4:30. Okay. Correct.
Awesome. Cool. Be there, Dunaway, and also kiss our butts.
No, you.
Crap. He got in before I could stop him. All right. Quick.
Sneaky like that.
He is sneaky like that.
Unreal player.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do a quick news story and play this for its intro. Why don't I have it handy? Oh, I do. Some quick news brought to you by
the timeless story of a drug-addicted girl who takes advantage of a mentally challenged boy for 3 decades straight.
Can you name the movie that is?
Dune.
Nope.
Because I think everything right now for you is Dune. Okay, it's not Dune. Damn it.
Definitely not Dune. Think about a movie. I'll give you a hint. It was in the 90s. A
drug-addicted girl takes advantage of a mentally challenged boy for 3 decades straight.
Yep. It's one of these.
Sid and Nancy was a lot briefer. A lot more brief.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Forrest Gump.
Yep. Forrest Gump.
All right. Good point. Yeah. Yep,
Forrest
takes
Gump.
Advantage of him.
Yep. It's alternate descriptions, folks. Alternate.
Yes.
Okay. You may have your own, but that one's mine. All right. Let's talk about this. California man was arrested for allegedly taking a leg of a person killed by a train. So somebody got killed by a train, and this dude went and took one of the legs like a weirdo.
Wow.
Yeah. Seems like a strange thing to want to take.
I want a souvenir.
Yeah. I witnessed this. Can I take a leg? It'd be like Brian taking that guy's tire after he wrecked.
Exactly right. Hop over there. Again, if I wouldn't have potentially caused injury to myself to go over to his car and cross the on-ramp, then I could have taken something, a little souvenir.
That was a little danger pocket, that whole
video. That certainly did not want to get... plus the guy on 911 is saying... Yeah, if you're not able to get out of your car without risking injury, are there people over there? I'm like, yeah, there are 3 people already over there checking on him. And one of them was on their phone calling, also calling 911. Yeah. I think your name was Angelica, as a matter of fact, because it was a whole police thing when they called me and thought I was Angelica. They had a whole list of people who called from that deal.
I love that you answered with your voice, and then they said, is this Angelica? Like, what's going on with that? That seems crazy. How did they not know? How do they not know?
Angelica. They didn't ask if it was Angelica. They said, can we speak to Angelica, please? There's no Angelica here. Oh, well, this is Denver Police Department. I said, I think you're probably calling on the same thing that both I and Angelica called about.
Well, I'm glad. And also, it was night. There's a lot of reasons you don't want to get out of your car. I'm glad you didn't do it. Anyway, this guy was arrested after allegedly taking a leg from the scene of a deadly train collision in Wasco, Where is this? California. Officials reported that the 27-year-old Rosendo Tellez removed evidence from the site after a person was struck and killed by a train, which severed their leg around 8 a.m. at the city's Amtrak station. Disturbing video circulated on social media of a man appearing to hold a severed body part, in this case, a leg, and eat from it.
God. Oh, God. That, why wasn't that in the headline?
They buried the headline. This is the most most buried headline we've ever read on the show. For real.
Yeah.
You take the top spot. Congratulations. Oh, it's literally HuffPo. It's a HuffPo article.
I was pulling up our Indie in the Middle, the notes on our Indie in the Middle, and you said that. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't see that in the headline.
Yeah, it's very weird. The man in the video appears to raise the body part in the air as law enforcement arrives. The Kern County Sheriff's Office reportedly took Tellez into custody without the incident on multiple outstanding warrants for allegedly taking evidence from the scene. The deadly train collision is under investigation by the BNSF Railway. So, yeah, I'm going to just say this. If you witness any kind of accident and somebody is dismembered, whether they perish or not, don't be taken an arm or a leg or anything else or eat it.
This ain't the country buffet.
What are you doing? What drugs are you on? Yeah. It has to be drugs, right? Why would you do that?
I would think so. I mean, I can't imagine, A, walking up and saying, you didn't think anybody would mind if I just took this, but then the eating of it.
Yeah, it's like these people melt plastic and snort it or something. Like, why are you so?
You haven't watched the video, have you? Because I don't think I could.
Oh no, I can't do it. No.
Yeah.
There's certain things where I'll watch a fail video. I'll watch a car accident if I know somebody's okay after. Like, I don't mind all that. I can't do
I've still never seen Two Girls, One Cup to this day. Never seen it because
I haven't either. I only know
about
a
reaction video and that was like, okay, that looks like something I never need to see.
Yeah. All I knew from it was I didn't want to see it.
Yeah. I know the plot.
I don't even know the plot. I know enough to know that it was grossing people out so bad. And now you say there's a couple of girls and a cup involved. You can put two and two together on this thing. I don't want anything. I don't want to go anywhere near whatever the hell that is. So don't tell me anyone, chat.
You all fooled me with that damn goatsy.
Yeah.
You're not going to fool me again.
You're not going to get me again or freaking tub girl or whatever that was back in the day.
I heard that was fake. Wasn't that fake or no? Was it real tub girl?
I have no idea. All I know is I was horrified by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So never again.
That was when you stopped using your hot tub. I think it was basically right then that you
when Randy showed up. It was when Randy got in.
That's right. It was Tubman.
Yeah, that's what happened. Anyway, that guy's in trouble. Don't be eating legs. Here's the thing. California Police Department has been using Lego heads to mask identities of suspects. They've been just like plopping them on these photos and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. They thought they were real funny about it because you do have to protect them, but it's rather than a blur, here's a Lego minifig head. I can kind of see why you might goof around like that, whatever. But Lego is pissed, and they have instructed the California Police Department to stop using Lego heads as masks. The Murrieta Police Department of California has been instructed by Lego to stop doing it. They've been digitally adding these heads onto photos of suspects. The police department, Lieutenant Jeremy Durant, told Fox News Digital in a statement that the Lego group requested that they stop using Lego heads in their social media posts. They reached out to us and respectfully asked us to refrain from using their intellectual property in social media content, which, of course, we understand and will comply with, says Durant. We are currently exploring other methods to continue publishing our content in a way that is engaging and interesting to our followers. That's a weird.
MegaBlock says, sure, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So here's a stack of them. Use all the ones you want.
They don't care, do they? Just put a block on their face. You don't need a face. Just put a six-peg MegaBlock.
use heads from that painting of the dogs playing poker.
Oh, I'd be into that. That'd be great. If I got arrested, if you got arrested right now, what would you prefer they use to mask your identity?
Let's see. I mean, I feel like I'm not going to go with the obvious, like, well, a picture of George Clooney or something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to grab my I have it over here somewhere. Oh, this joke is going poorly.
Oh, it's all right.
Have to cover it with this.
Oh, shit, of course. Duh, we'd all use the Ibit bomb.
would all just use the Ibbot bomb. And what's great is they'd be like, oh, there's no way that he could look like that under there. So
that can't possibly be him. Yeah, I don't know what I'd want. I think I'd want like, you know, like a big eyeball, just an eyeball.
Oh, yeah, like the Residents, basically.
Yeah.
Like that old, the old band, The Residents.
Just a big eye right in the center there. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Yeah, it's your Spider-Man mask. Could use this. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be all right. Although then you'd have Marvel after you, and they're litigious as hell, those bastards.
Yeah, they probably would not approve. Yeah.
No. All right, that'll do it for today's news. A couple stories to keep you warm, and we'll have more tomorrow. But right now, we're going to do some science or a break, and then we're going to come back with some science with Bobby. And he's here once again, 3 weeks in a row, because Steven's had stuff. He's had, you know, things.
It's quite a run. Quite a run Bobby's having.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Steven did assure me he'll be back next week. He's just been busy with school stuff where he works. So all that coming up after this song. Brian, what did you bring?
Yeah, so Turn Up the Volume, the blog Turn Up the Volume says, when they heard this band, think Deftones having a noise wrestling fight with Mastodon with Evanescence's charismatic Hellcat as ref.
Wow.
That's their description. Actual results may vary. This band called Atomic Life, there's a brand new single called Incense and Aries. Their self-titled EP is coming soon. There's former members of the Dillinger Escape Plan, HO9909, Thought Crimes, Glassjaw, and NK as members of the Atomic Life. Here they are right now. Here's the song Incense and Aries.
With the sea and the world swallows my throat, never wash away with cues. So sick, give me pills when you know so. If you see them drying under, dead me, it's just me versus me. So sweet, oh no, didn't think so. If you see them hide under, incense and Elvis burn slow. Gambling the rose, gambling the rose, gambling the rose, gambling the rose, gambling the rose. We're the same in your bed with the signal. I give comfort to no ill. So sweet, oh no.
A lot of stupid shit, yeah.
Big talk for someone who can't even use astral arts.
We're back. Who is that again?
That is Atomic Life and the song Incense and Aries, which is mistyped in the version they sent me. The actual MP3 is spelled A-I-R-E-S, like airs, incense and airs.
Oh.
But it's supposed to be Aries, A-R-I-E-S, like the astrological sign.
Mm-hmm. The upcoming Tron sequel is called Aries.
Oh, is that all? That's all. That's A-R-E-S, though, like the god of war.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So pronounced the same, though, right?
Pronounced the same, Aries, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, except, I don't know, I'm a little hit and miss with that that Jared Leto fella.
Jared Leto, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, he needs something to wash the stink of Morbius off, so.
I guess so. He sometimes impresses the hell out of me in movies and things, and then sometimes he's, like, really annoying to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to feel about it. Let's see here. Who are we adding to this call? Oh, yeah.
I think we're adding Bobby.
We are. Almost added Steven, even though he's not here. All right.
We'll Bobby's Bobby not in. A huge freaking nerd.
That's right. He's not a huge freaking nerd. He is, however, a purveyor of scientific knowledge, and that's why we have him here. Let's do it.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Well, let's prove it. Bob, are you hungry, and does the soup look good?
I am hungry. I don't have any soup handy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it looks good.
Probably looks good. Mm-hmm. You're not going to deny everyone some good-looking soup, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it looks fine. Sure. To each their own.
Yeah, that's what I always say. It's good to have you here.
Egg picture that Scott put in the thing almost looks like egg soup. Like
yeah, a little bit.
Your bread into that egg soup.
A little bit, right? Looks like, I mean, it is so coddled that I'm not even sure it's cooked. Like,
right.
I feel like
there's some stuff on the edge that does not look, opaque.
Best I can tell from the three ways that I found that you can prepare these, and they give you three specific cooking methods. It's all really just about, is it done? It's barely done. Okay. Is there just a little film of like tying it together?
So you really are coddling it. You're just,
You can't let it, you can't put it in there and walk away. You have to coddle that damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coddle your eggs, everybody, or else
these eggs, helicopter snowflake eggs.
Yeah. That's right. These eggs, easily triggered eggs. Is that what you're saying? Anyway, it's good to have you here, man. 3 weeks in a row. Who knows what will come out of your mouth today, except you have to answer this phone call first. All right. We're going to play it. Okay. This is about you and your flying stuff. So I'll play it and then we'll talk about it. Here you go.
The Morning Stream. Hi, Salad and Bread. In the ongoing soap opera of the show, we heard Bobby was learning to fly and that at some point he got to do a solo flight, but we never heard the end. Is he a pilot now? Please inform me. Take these Bobby wings. And learn to fly again, fly around the cheese.
All right. First of all, it's fine if you guys call in stoned and or drunk. It's totally fine. Right. We don't care. We'll take your calls either way. Secondly, Bobby, it does feel like heard about your...
both Mr. and Mr. on the phone. Darn
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah, two Misters is too many. We did hear about your big solo flight test and stuff, but I guess it's true. We haven't really heard a ton about, like, now what? Are you flying all the time? Yeah. Are you flying other people? Are you getting calls from United? Like, what do you do now?
Well, I don't have any goals of being a commercial pilot. Definitely not an airline pilot. That's not going to happen. But it's possible if I were able to become a person, a commercial licensed pilot, I might pursue that. But there are issues with vision that might not be quite good enough for the FAA that might get in the way of that, but it was never a goal. I always just wanted to learn how to fly, and so I did. I'm a pilot now. Drunk listener, I can't remember the name.
I can't remember.
Said very slowly.
I'm glad he said salad and bread pretty good, because we were just talking about salad.
It's pretty,
and bread.
Pretty good timing. Exactly.
My bread in this instance.
You're always bread, Bobby.
You can be bread. I'll if you meant me, then I'll happily give you.
Well,
bread.
There are two slices.
Yeah, there are. You're right. Sandwich. Usually,
and it's actually unlimited if you go to the right place. Like if you go to Olive Garden, that bread keeps on coming.
Hey, do you guys have Winco's where you live? The chain Winco. Does that sound familiar at all? Okay,
no.
Went to a place yesterday called Winco, which it was recommended to us as having really good prices on like produce and stuff, kind of like anti-inflationary kind of stuff. But they also make you bag all your own stuff. Like they get they cut out a bunch of the fluff of what you would usually expect at a grocery store.
Yeah.
And there aren't like fake coupons and all that. But they had the best deals on the most amazing freaking bread. And I'm really? Like, I'm not even supposed to eat this much bread, but I walked out of there with some whole grain, like sliced up awesome bread. So anyway, anyone out there have a Winco? Go there. It's great. It's freaking good. Anyway.
But yeah, I'm flying. I try to fly once every week or two, actually, and just to keep skills up. I just a couple weeks ago started my instrument training, and so the short version of that I tell everybody that instrument training is that it's an extra part of your certificate that you get that allows you to fly in the clouds, basically.
Mm. This might be a dumb question, but like, okay, once you graduate and you're not using the instructor plane, I assume that when you're learning, you're using the instructor's plane, or
it depends on where you go. You have some places you'll have an instructor and you'll provide your own plane, or you'll rent a plane separately and then hire an instructor to come with you. But a lot of places, a lot of instructors operate out of small privately owned flight schools, and flight schools are often, like, you know, said with air quotes, because not to say that pejoratively, like that's there's no problem, but when we say flight school, some of these places really just are airports that own several planes and then they also employ flight instructors so that they can get, you know, those planes can be constantly going up, and flight instructors have a place to also get their flight time and have a job as well. So
okay, and so then once you graduate, you're still able to rent those planes. So when you go once a week or once every couple of weeks, you rent the plane, you fly it, and
That's what I do, actually. There's it wasn't the school that I went to, but there's an airport near here that has a flight school that they've got a fleet of like four Cessna 172s, and that's the type of plane that I learned in. So I just go there, and they've got like a program online, booking program. You go in there and book yourself a plane and then go, and I just take one of their planes up and fly.
Do they make you fuel it up before you bring it back? Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's fun because this airport that I fly out of doesn't do where I trained does full service fuel. You would call them up and be like, "Hey, I need the plane topped off," and they'd do it for you. This place that I rent at now is all self service fuel, so which is kind of fun.
So you have to drive it over to another part of the airport, fill it up after you land, kind of thing.
At the airport, there's like a gas pump for planes. And you're like,
awesome.
You pull up to it and you have to get out like a ladder and you have to ground the plane electric statically, you know.
Wow. Sure. That makes sense.
And you climb up the thing with a big like gas pump over your shoulder and put it into the wings.
You try to hit an even number and do the whole like thread it and tick, tick, tick,
tick, tick. Try to get it to an even 20 or 30 bucks, or I don't know how much
whatever much, fuel costs.
Then you spill the fuel all over the plane.
Oh geez.
What is a gallon of it's not jet fuel, airline fuel.
They call it aviation fuel. Yeah.
Aviation fuel.
But is it different than gas by a significant amount?
Yeah.
Is it?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Higher you should not octane put, or something, or
it's just got, I don't know the specifics, but
it's
I know.
It's got nutrients and minerals that are good for what a growing airplane needs.
It's got a high fiber diet for your plane. Yeah. a gallon of aviation fuel depends on the airport you go to, but I've seen them between 6.5 would be really cheap, all the way up to, I've seen like $10 a gallon.
Okay. Yeah.
Where I am right now, it's around $7-ish, $7 to $8 a gallon.
Jeez, that's not that bad.
It's not cheap, and planes hold a lot of fuel.
I kind of thought that'd be higher, so I guess it's still high, but it's, I don't know. I just thought, well, it's airplane fuel, so therefore you're going to pay way more than you would for a car. But really, you're just paying about double, almost triple, I guess.
It's good to know that aviation fuel is cheaper than aviation gin. So there's that.
That's right.
It's not really cheaper though, because a plane, like the planes that I fly, they burn between 8 and 10 gallons an hour. So, it might not be as expensive as you thought per gallon, but you're using many more gallons per hour than in a car.
So those tanks are big then, because you got to do like.
Yeah, I have a plane with a relatively small tank, and it's 38 gallon tank.
Oh.
And it holds 38 gallons, but you know, the one that I trained in had like 55 or so gallons.
Do you know anything about, this is such a side question, but like the rise of EVs in cars, do you think there's a chance that eventually smaller, you know, two people, four people planes could adopt a technology that would mean no more fuel?
I think eventually it will, but right now it's very difficult. Batteries are heavy.
Yeah.
Batteries are very heavy. I think it'll probably, you'll see them in large-ish planes that are carrying cargo first.
Yeah.
You might see them in small general aviation planes. They might exist and I'm not aware of it, but it's all very experimental if it does exist. But batteries are getting lighter. Battery technology is getting lighter and lighter all the time. So that's something that the aviation industry is 100% actively. It's an active area of research. So.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see that being a big boon because I don't know, that technology could lead to other launch methods for rockets eventually. I mean, that seems crazy because the boost you need is so insane.
Maybe not rockets. That's difficult, right? Because the reason rockets are able to get things off the ground is because they have propellant. The whole point of propellant is that it's propelling something out of the back of it.
Right.
To cause the rocket to go up. And you need a lot of that. So I don't know that batteries will ever get rockets off the ground, but
you take some batteries to start it, and then the world's largest Caesar salad is your propellant. We solve two problems, you know.
Yeah,
a big
yeah.
container of lentils to give you the gas boost that you need.
That's
to get it out there.
Throw some refried in there. We're on our way to Mars, everybody. Well, anyway, that's awesome. Though this is not our subject today. Our subject today is currently unknown to Brian and I. So why don't you share it with us?
Well, so there's actually a lot of science news this week. There's stuff about like dogs. Humans have finally caught up with dogs and getting tick medication, perhaps. there was a major flu strain that went extinct. Apparently the Voyager probe is under attack from the universe that is trying to make it crash.
Oh no.
I'm talking about none of those because I saw this headline and I knew I had to do it for TMS, which was the headline was dog's brain activity shows they recognize the names of objects. And if I see dog's brains.
Yeah, it's a lock. Do you have the audio clip handy, Scott? Does it set up?
I don't know if I do. Hold on. Let's see. Brains. Did I put it in here?
Do dogs have brains? Because I like seriously wanted to know.
Oh my gosh. Perfect.
Exactly.
Nice.
Perfect. Exactly.
All right.
So there was a new study that just came out that suggests that dogs actually can recognize the names of objects. And the data that they have is brain activity evidence. Like they put EEGs or ECGs on the, or it's EEGs. They put it on the heads of dogs and were able to determine whether or not their brain activity changed whenever they match or didn't match the names of an object and the object itself. Now you might be wondering, didn't we already know that dogs can?
Yeah, like if you say ball, get ball. Yeah. Like we had dogs that would know. Both of our dogs would know. Oh, that's the ball. I'm bringing back the ball and not the teddy bear or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought the same thing. But apparently, according to this article that I read, there's been a lot of research that's been done over the past few decades since 1981, I believe. That showed that dogs actually, despite what we think, generally dogs do not recognize the names of objects. When we think about understanding, like recognizing the name of an object, it's called referential understanding in psychology, and it's the connection between a word and then the mental representation of that word.
Mm.
So what we think of dogs doing when we say go get the ball or the bone or something like that, it could be that the dog is doing something else. They're not actually hearing the word of the object and then creating a mental image of it and then retrieving it. It just may be an action that like, because one thing that's known about dogs is that they are very good at understanding, maybe not objects, but they do understand commands very well.
Yeah, that's true.
So
when I said to my dogs this morning, are you guys hungry? And they all went, "Murr!" Their eyes, you know, their ears went up and they all freaked out because they know when I say hungry, it's food. That we know that that's them hearing a word or to them a sound combo. that means a certain result, right? So it makes sense to me that they would have the same thing with, like Brian said, with a ball or with a anything
it
else.
It does seem to make intuitive sense because you're right. It's incontrovertible that dogs, and through research as well, that dogs do understand language in some way. Especially commands, you can teach a dog commands. And like you said, you can, if you say, you guys hungry, or are you ready for some dinner or food or something like that, there seems to be a response that you will get out of a dog. The past research has shown that it's not this referential understanding. It's not that they understand that that word is an object and it connects them with a mental image of an object. It just, they've probably what, or at least this is what was thought, because obviously this research has changed our understanding of that, but it was thought that dogs just had, they would hear something and then they would learn over time to connect that with an event or a feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it would change their behavior,
right?
But it wouldn't necessarily change the internal state of their mind. But there are studies that have been done and replicated that can still have problems, even if they've been replicated. It can be really hard to isolate certain things. So problems with old studies might have been that dogs are in the laboratory. Dogs can be very easily distracted, right? There's a lot of distractions in laboratory settings. So maybe there's something else going on whenever they tried to see if they understood. Because what they used to do to determine what they thought was that dogs didn't know what these object words were, the way they used to test for that is they would just put a bunch of objects in front of dogs and then they would ask them to fetch one of them. And it was always just a random result. Dogs would just randomly pick something.
Whatever's closest or most brightly colored or whatever.
Something, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Also, whenever these tests were done, it was always done with the dog's trainer or owner present. And so that can kind of confuse things as well. Because we know that dogs do like humans a lot, there's evolutionary pressure that has caused that. But this research, they decided to try to sort of eliminate a lot of these things. They designed an experiment that would work around a lot of these distraction issues. They put EEGs, electroencephalograms, with basically these electrode caps on the dogs, and they would try to get them not to fetch something. This is kind of an interesting design that they had. It took advantage of what's known in psychology as the N400 effect, which is when you show a subject that you're experimenting on, an object,
right,
and then you either present them with a matching or mismatching name for that object, then the brain activity looks different depending on whether you gave them a matching or mismatching object.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So it's very distinct, the brain activity. So there, we know that the brain responds differently when a word is matched with an object or if it's not matched with an object. It's called the N400 effect because the peak of the difference in the brain activity appears about 400 milliseconds after the presentation of the word. But what they did for dogs is they reversed that. They tested in the reverse. They would give the dog a word like say, where's the ball or something like that. And then they would show them an object. It kind of was clever. They sat the dog in front of glass that could be this kind of glass that could be electronically made opaque or transparent. And so they would present him with a recording of their owner.
Yeah.
Giving them a word, a word that involved an object, and then they would make the glass go from opaque to transparent, and behind the glass would be objects. And sometimes that it would contain the object that was named, sometimes it wouldn't. And they wanted to see, is this brain effect that we see in humans, do we see it in dogs? And they found out that it does. So
was there any issues with the dogs seeing the screen thing, given their difference of spectrum? They have a different visual spectrum than we do a little bit, right? Like,
yeah, well, it was just glass. So it wouldn't have affected that because light can get through it just fine. But it's just they would make the glass opaque so nothing could get through. Okay. They couldn't see anything on the other side of it. Then it would just suddenly be transparent. And now they could see it.
Okay. All right.
And they found that, there is a clear difference in brain activity when they were presented with matching versus mismatching objects, and the strength of the brain activity was stronger when the more familiar the dog was with the object in question.
They break this down by breed, or did they do it with certain kinds of dogs? Like, was it a...
I didn't see anything about that in, okay, in what I read.
Just curious if they, like, found it to be stronger in some breeds and less in others. Because it always...
That would be a really interesting... Yeah. That would be a really interesting follow-up study if they didn't do that, because we do know that different breeds of dogs were bred for different purposes, right?
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. In the same way, you're never going to get a hummingbird to say your name, but you're going to get a raven to do it. It's like, right, there's
and
just
also like some breeds of dogs are really good at identifying like and looking for things in the ground because they're like hounds or something like that, and they are good at smelling things or searching for things hidden on the ground, where some dogs aren't as good at that. You know, some are better at hearing or
like did this take into account any of those popular? I showed a little video of it, but there's very popular dog button pads you can create, and it's
where they actually make the noise when they press on it, like they can say hungry, feed me.
Yeah, feed me.
They press a certain button.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never actually seen any kind of science on how well those things actually work. I'm sure it exists, but those are interesting. Trying to figure out how to communicate with animals is something we're always trying to do, especially charismatic animals that we spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, the ones that we like.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Well, that's interesting.
We don't care much about what a possum wants to tell us.
No. No, what do they have to say? Nothing is the answer to that. I think that's just really interesting.
It's fascinating.
And I kind of wanted to get those buttons and try those with our dogs, but I'm not sure.
They're expensive. It's like, boy, that's a really expensive experiment to find out your dog doesn't want to press buttons to tell you when they're hungry.
Yeah, because right? I'm guessing there are going to be dogs who don't. Like, they're straight up just never going to get it. But then you might have one that'll be like, oh, it seems like when I push this, I get fed, and then maybe it'll be worth it, but. Right. I don't know. These things are expensive. Hundreds of bucks for this. I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
Bobby,
hard to train too.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. you do this kind of stuff all the time on your little show over there, the all around science, and we love that thing. So tell people where to get it and what's coming up on that thing.
Well, All Around Science. Yeah, that's our science podcast. Every week we talk about science and what's going on in science news. And one of those things I mentioned a minute ago is we're going to be talking about this week. That'll be next Monday. It has to do with the tick medication. There's a tick medication in humans that they're working on. But this one that came out today was a little bit different. We talked about something that maybe a lot of people, it's a 2-week theme. We're talking about space and engineering in space. But this time we talked about what the problem of trying to poop and pee in space.
Oh, is that an issue? I didn't know that was a thing.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Apparently, and I didn't realize this either, apparently we evolved all of our bodily functions on Earth where there's plenty of gravity. And so you need the gravity to get it done. Without gravity, apparently, you can't tell when you need to pee very easily.
Yeah, because the weight of your bladder changes. Like, it's not pressuring downward anymore. Yeah, that's interesting.
Exactly.
There's a whole thing I was reading about the other day about cancers are having a way easier time spreading and growing in space, based on some studies, than it is on Earth, because gravity helps something cellular, like fight off something. I don't know the details, but this sounds like something you guys would cover eventually.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, our bodies evolved in a gravitational field.
So. Yeah, we're all going to look like belters one day if we go out there too much.
Yeah,
gotta be careful.
Right.
Well, fascinating. It's All Around Science. Wherever you get your podcast, go check that out. Bobby, thanks for stepping in once again. For Steven, he appreciates it too, as
he's
do
a
we.
Huge freaking nerd
that, he's a huge freaking nerd. We'll see you next time. All right, there goes Bobby into the fray, and here goes us into the why won't this work. There it is, it works now. Hey you guys, couple quick final things. I got a Lyft question for you, Brian, from Amanda. She says, cool. This good morning, scooter and bus question for Brian. How do you track your mileage for Lyft? I'm doing taxes and apparently should have been tracking my mileage, LOL. What do you use so I can save myself some trouble for next year? Thank you, Amanda. What would you say?
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Lyft. They track the miles that you put on your car when you've got a passenger in there, but they don't track the, like, oh, there's a Lyft ride 4 miles away. Go pick this person up. So that 4 miles never gets tracked. They start their little clock when that person is in your car, and they end it when that person gets out of your car. So if you, again, have to go another 5 miles to get to your next ride or 2 miles or whatever, none of that stuff is tracked. So I use, there's an app called Everlands, and you let it have, you give it access to your tracking, right? So it basically can see where you're driving, and then it logs your trip. So when you stop in a particular place for more than a minute, it treats it as the end of one trip and the beginning of another one. So at the end of every day or the end of every week, you can go through, and it's really just swiping left or right. Like, oh yeah, that was a ride I did for Lyft. That was a ride I did for Lyft. That was a ride I, you know, when we went out to dinner. Or you can do what I do, which is, since I, during the day, the only time I ever use my car prior to 6 o'clock on weekdays, is to do Lyft. Otherwise we're taking Tina's car. And what I do is, although that would still, cause my phone is still with me when I am in Tina's car. Well, we don't,
oh,
we won't
shoot.
Care about that. but really anything prior to, 7 PM, any rides I are drives or trips that I do prior to 7 PM are logged for Lyft. And then after 7 PM are for, are personal, and the app is really, really easy to like manage, you know, one versus the other. It seriously is like swiping left and right.
What was the name of the app again for
Everlands? Everlance, all one word. I think it maybe costs $2 or $3 a month to track everything, but the money you'll save, because, you know, again, the report you get from Lyft, if you give that to your tax person, is like, great, you did exactly the mileage for when somebody's in your car. But you want all the mileage you put on, because there's a lot of it. And
yeah, and if you're like Brian and I, and you're independent, you know, sole proprietorships, track all your mileage. Yeah, you can categorize it, but just keep it all. Like my accountant's like, what? I don't care where you're driving. You give me those miles. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I went to Taco Bell.
For work related.
Yeah. Perfect. I went to Taco Bell. I had a meeting. I talked about work. It counts.
So. I mean, it's like our, because we do FilmSac and because we talk about stuff on the show, like our streaming services are part of our work. Like they're absolutely included in our end of year statements, the amount we pay for those.
Yeah. So. Every video game I buy, every game service I subscribe to, PlayStation Plus, Game Pass, all that stuff, that all gets counted.
Oh, I guess I need to start doing a show on Brazzers though, to make that streaming service pay.
Okay, that's right. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
You got to get that going.
Bangbus.com. I guess I need to get,
why not? Indeed.
Put that on the list. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Quick note here. When you guys send us calls, and they're, you know, the ones that get the most for sure played on the show are ones that are like a minute or less. Sometimes you guys send 2-3 minute calls that are great, but it's mostly just like telling us a cool thing, not really a respond to kind of thing. And so those tend to pile up a little bit. And today, after the song, I will be putting a stack of these. I think there are 4 total. At the end of the song, or at the end of the thing. So if you're somebody who sent in one of these calls before and you thought, oh, they didn't play it because it was too long, I save these for this. This, every once in a while, we just do a little venting of longer calls. So after the song today, stay around for those. All right. Just let you know at home. Live people, you won't hear them live, but everybody at home, you sure will. That's it. Everything is at frogpants.com/TMS that you might ever need, except for this knowledge, which is a song we're going to play at the end of the show. And Brian will tell us all about it.
Song knowledge. I love getting song knowledge. This one. So as I do continue to play catch up with all the requests that have come in over March, I apologize for some of you actually have them on specific days. As a matter of fact, I think Chuck has one that was supposed to be today, but somebody had one that was requested earlier that I need to do. That's all right. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with your thing today, Chuck. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. I've got yours scheduled for tomorrow. Today, though, is a dedication from Gene. So I told you about last month, Gene, who's a listener to the show and also knows Marianne from Brooklyn from the Howard Stern Show.
Wow.
Member of the Whack Pack.
Yeah.
He came out to Denver with his friend Margaly, and the two of them met us at a local brewery, and we just had a blast, even though there was a live band performing in the brewery. We still had a great time talking and laughing and getting all caught up. Gene writes, "You once asked me, how do I know when I find the one? I finally found her. Thank you." And so this is a dedication from Gene to Margaly, and they're just the cutest friends, the cutest couple. So we're so happy that Gene fancies her. Yeah. He requested some EDM. How about an EDM cover of one of the early pre-EDM new wave tracks that if it were released today would have been EDM. It's a fantastic song by Flock of Seagulls called Space Age Love Song. This is by an EDM group called Dark Defiant Spaces from a tribute to electronic music, came out in 1995, called To Cut a Long Story Short. Let's do that right now. Here is Dark Distant Spaces and Space Age Love Song.
Get more at frogpants.com.
What the heck would cause that?